Okay, today's daf is Bamitzia, daf Kuf Vav, and we are on Kuf He Amid Beis. We have been discussing various issues of how Chakirus and Arisus, and the last point we made in the Mishnah and Machlokas, is what happened if I'm a sharecropper and my field doesn't produce, and I want out. I don't want to work this field when it's not producing anything. So what's the minimum amount that it has to produce that I'm not allowed to say I'm out? If it doesn't produce anything, then I can leave. But if it produces, so what's the minimum amount? That was a Machlokas HaTanoim in the Mishnah. The Tanakama had said as long as it can make a pile, it can make a kri, because that's the language that is used in the agreement contract. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it is kedei nefila. If it could produce enough seeds in order to be able to cover next year's growth, so then that would be good enough. So we had a couple of halachos of kedei nefila, and the Gemara is now quoting another one. So we will start with a fifth wide line on Kuf Hei Amid Beis. Last word on the line is Tanan. Tanan Hassam says the Mishnah Meseches Peah. So Baruch Hashem, this daf gave us a chance to learn a Mishnah in Uksin and Zavin and Ahalos, and now Peah, fourth Masechta, without a Gemara, that we have a Mishnah on this daf. Tanan Hassam says the Mishnah, Haruach Shepizra Se'umrim, we know Maseches Peah is all about the Matnis Aniyim. It's a Peah, is the what it's called, but it's also about Lekah and Shichcha. Those three are usually a team, Lekah, Shichcha, and Peah. And the Mishnah that we are quoting here describes a case of Safek Leket. What is Leket? Leket means I gathered up all of the sheaths, and a few of them fell out of my hands as I was walking. They fell out, I left them there. So that's Leket. So usually I gather, but this is what was left on the floor. So what happens? What happened if there's Leket, and then the wind blows, and it gets all mixed up, the Leket that's supposed to go to the Aniyim, and the leket that I already have taken back to my farm. So haruach shepizra se'umrin, the ruach, the wind that is mefazer, that is scattering the umrim, scattering the bundles. So what is the halacha in that case regarding suffix? So omrin osa kama leket ru'uya lasas v'nosin laniyim. So what do you do? So you figure out how much leket this field would have produced, and that is what you give to the aniyim. See, Rashi explains the case in the last few skinny lines. Haruach shevizas omrin basade v'kisu es haleket shel aniyim hamefuzar basade ve'en yadua kama leket ayisham l'mata min omrin. So you have to go to Bez and Shamanos of a Bezdin, and you figure out how much leket would have been produced. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, no sein la'aniyim kedei nefila. So Rav Shimon Gamliel again says, no, you give the aniyim kedei nefila. No, as much as would have covered the field. So v'kama kedei nefila, how much is that? So kiyazar avdimi v'amar v'lazar v'itemer v'yochan arba'as kavin l'kur. Four kav to every area that would that is a base kur. So Gemara says, a base kur of what? Says the Gemara, Kiyasar of Dimi, I'm sorry, Boy Rabbi Yirmiya, Lakur Zera or Lakur Tua. Does it mean a kur of seed planted or a kur of production? So which is it? So, and even if you say it is a kur of Zera, Lumapolis Yara, Lumapolis Shvarim, enough that a person could scatter in the field, or how much oxen scatter in the field. Also different shiurim. So Tashma, the Chiyazi Ravin, Amr of Yevo, Amr of Elazar, Amr of Yochanan, our boss Kavin Lakur Zera, Vyadayti Baylachad, Lumapolis Yara, Lumapolis Shvarim, Teku. So no answer is given. Remember, whenever we speak about Suffolk Leket, there are some very lumdish Mishnayos in Maseches Peah regarding this issue. It's related to the sugya of Suffolk Tzaka, right? It's Suffolk Leket. So what type of what issue is that? By Suffolk, usually, is this a Suffolk Dini Maminus? When we say a Moshe Bechaberel of Araya, it's not really purely Dini Maminus. There's no Isser involved. It's not like Truma, where it has to be Batel, but it's a Suffolk Gezel Ha'aniyim. So there are different rules there. You don't just say muchzakus when you have a case of suffik mumminus when it comes to a mitzvah. It's not just machlokus between two parties. And there's no specific toveah here, right? It's mamush ein lo tovim. It's the aniyim. It's the poor people. But it's a suffik mitzvah. So do you apply the principles of suffik daraisa l'chumra there? They have to give it to someone. Do you say, is there a kazva muchzakus? But these mishnayos are, but at least the discussion here, the mission is that, well, you have to figure out how much you should give, and that's what you have to give. Because regular rules of muchzakus don't apply. There is a question in the Achronim, how far does this go? So there's no muchzak when it comes to suffik staka, because I have a chiyuv of a suffik mitzvah. So is it already considered shel aniyim, or is it somewhat less than that? The Ksos in Reish Mem Gimel suggests that it is not a Shel Aniyim yet. It is just an estate where the Aniyim are allowed to now take it. That's the case, says the Ksos in Reish Mem Gimel Nochas Matana. Matana Zaniyim Avur. He quotes the Gemara earlier in Bamasiyah Daf Yud Beis. Gabi Leket Upeya to Katan in Ezochem Idaraisa. Right, what about an Ani? A Katan Ani? Right, so what about that case? The Efshar Lomar, the Matnis Aniyim Shaini, the Chsiv La'ani V'Lager Tazov Otam, or even an Ani that's trying to take Leket, right, a Katan. Im Kain, Eino Ela Aziva, She Yizku Bo Me'atzmam, U'mishamachi Kol She'ein Yod Yad L'Zakos Lo'Zacha. It is there for the taking, but it's not considered taken yet. Right, La'ani V'la, what does the Pasuk say in Emar? La'ani V'Lager Tazov Otam, leave them. So leave them so they could come take it. Aval b'matnas koanim, contrast, says the Ksos, to matnas koanim, to lok sivu aziva havile mamon koanim mamish. That already belongs to the koanim. Which koan? We don't know yet. But it belongs to the shevet of the koanim. Umishem hachi shotenami zoche b'davar sheyeshlo. Ubematnas kahuna kein schiris l'koanim chelef avoda. V'chavafil koanim psulim b'she psulim b'avoda. Nami yeshlem schia. Fascinating. The Ksos is mechalik between matnas aniyim and matnas kahuna. Matnas kahuna already belongs to the shevet of koanim. Therefore, even someone who generally cannot be zoche can be zoche. Right? What's the context of this Ksos? Pidyon HaBen of a Katan. That's a big discussion here. Could a Katan Kohen take the Pidyon HaBen coins? So he says, well, maybe yes, because you don't really need a Zechiah. It already is Zoch Nisket to them, already is owned by them based on the Din D'Oraisa. So they just have to figure out which Kohen, so maybe even a Katan could do that. Mashiach, when it comes to Matnas Aniyim, it is there for the Kohanim to be, for the Aniyim to be able to take it, but it's not actually theirs. And therefore, there will be a difference between the two. That is the Ksosa discussion. If it is like Matnas, if his approach, like Matnas Aniyim, I don't think he parallels it. I don't think he parallels it, but it's very similar to another suggestion of the Ksos. Where else do we have a case where I have to leave it, or I leave it, and then someone else can be Zocha to it, but it's not theirs yet? That's how the Ksos views Yeyush. Right, the Ksos and the Nesivus both discuss Yeyush, how does Yeyush view it? Right, seven or eight different opinions amongst the Achronim, and even the roots are in the Rishonim. Tosa says in Mabakama, Yeyush is not Hefker. Tosa doesn't say what it is, right, but Tosa says what it isn't. But the Ksos and the Nesivus both say in their own way, Yeyush is an allowance for you to take it. It's not yours yet, but I remove my rights to it. I don't remove my bialis to it. It's still my bialis. But I remove my rights to it and therefore allow you to take it, sometimes against my will. Right? If there's a zuto shoyam, as we had back in the second parak, right, it falls off the sea, I can be screaming, I'm not misyayish. But by definition, I have to be miyayish in that case. But that's a parallel, yeyush to, the state that it's in of matnas aniyim. Okay. We continue now. Says the Mishnah. Hamakabel Sada Mechavero. So this, if you remember, was the little controversial Mishnah, even though Rav Papa said on yesterday, 2 days ago's daf, that every Mishnah from here on in is either by Chakirus or by Kablanus. This Mishnah, Rashi says, is only by Chakronus. Fine. But the Rambam had this, the formulation of Hamakabel on this Mishnah, and the Magen Mishnah said maybe it's just because he's copying the language of the Mishnah, but the Achronim weren't too happy about that because, you know, the Rambam would be more specific, so we said the Eben Azel explained the Rambam, maybe this Mishnah is based on an earlier Mishnah, it's just an outgrowth, but either way, let's go with Rashi's pshat. Chakronis, meaning, in this Mishnah we're talking about someone, a sharecropper, or a tenant farmer who guaranteed a certain amount for the landlord, for the owner. So, Makabot HaMechavero, V'yachla Chagav, O'Nishtafa. There was a locust plague, or Nishtafa, there was a windswept storm, and there was like a hurricane winds, and all the crops died. So, in Makas Medina, if the whole country, you know, had it Makas Medina, so the Menachel, the tenant can't say, the sharecropper can't say, well, he can't be told, well, it's your fault. No, the whole country had it. So, Menachel Omen Chakuro. So, when he gives back the Chakron, it's the amount he's allowed to deduct. He's allowed to give less, because after all, less was produced. This was an ones. Im eina makas medina, eina menachel omen chakura. But if it was not a countrywide plague, so then he cannot deduct. We'll get to that, what exactly is, by the Hashem, a countrywide plague. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im kibla heimenu bima'os, Rabbi Yehuda is machalek. If the chakrana's deal was that I'm going to give you money, I'm not going to give you produce, but I promise to give you money, so that no matter what, benkach uvenkach, eino manachalo michakuro. Because the money wasn't affected, even though the produce that you were going to have as profit was affected, but then it's tough luck on the choker. He has to give the exact same amount because it was about money, right? Rashi's lashon is lo aleha haisa peronus zu, right? There wasn't peronus to the money; there was just peronus to his bank account. Okay, but that's not a direct effect, and therefore he would have to pay. The Chashuk Yechemet here has about 10 pages of discussion relating to issues of makas medina, and specifically they were all cases that came up a number of years ago, Tafshin Samach Tes, when there were rockets fired, Rachman Litzlan from Gaza. He has 10 or 12 different shilas that were asked to him relating to this makas medina, right? I mean, what claim does one have? Makas medina. If there's a doctor that was been working on the front lines for a couple of days, it's Erev Shabbos. He is wiped, exhausted. He hasn't slept. He knows he's probably going to need to be used again, but he needs some sleep. He feels he cannot function unless he gets 8 hours of sleep, just one night. Is he allowed to go back home, knowing that it'll probably be cold on Shabbos? Or does he have a chiyuv to sleep somewhere close by where he probably is not going to get as good enough sleep, as not in his own bed, v'chulu? So you talk about we discussed this in other contexts. Does a woman in her ninth month have to sleep near the hospital if she knows that she might go into labor, v'chulu? That's one case. But then other issues relating to the general makkah. Somebody lives in somebody else's house without asking because it was the only place that they found that was empty. So Shabarach Miro, a renter, somebody paid to rent, and then he had to leave for 2 weeks because of the rocket attacks. Does he have to pay rent? He wasn't able to be in the house. Can we say, well, the whole area had to leave? I'm not paying rent for this. You couldn't have gotten anybody else, but I signed a rental agreement, right? Chanus shechayva haisa skura kol yemei amelchama, right? A store, all these different Rachman al-Islan cases that had to do with those issues of makas medina. Okay, but let's get back to our Gemara. It says the Gemara, hechi davi makas medina. So what does a makas medina mean, where the choker can say, well, it happened to everybody? What does everybody mean? How do you look at the population? Machlokas. It's a machlokas and a machlokas about the machlokas. So first the machlokas. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, the Amora. Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says, could go to Ishtuf Ruba de Baga. Most of the Baga, meaning most of the valley where the field was, that was affected. Most of the valley. That is Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, right here, Ruba de Baga, Rov Habika Shizu Besocha. Most of the Bika. Look at the Gra. The Gra points out that the Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam says, Rov Sados Shel Osa Ha'ir. Not this valley, but most fields in the whole city. Right, that's the Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. If you look in the Rav, the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah, he quotes both of these opinions without making screaming about it. He just says, which the Rav Bar Tanura is almost always based on the Gemara and the Rishonim, but here he says, what's Makas Medina? Achal Chagav, Oshin Ishtatu Rov Sado Shalosa Medina, Osa Vika. Right, either one. Says the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif was classic commentary on the Mishnah. He was a Talmud of the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal told him, you have to write, we have to learn Mishnayos. The Maharal was a strong believer of learning Mishnayos, so one of his star students, the Tosfos Yontif from Prague, he wrote the classic commentary on Mishnah. See, he quotes the Rav, and he says, you know what, this is really a Machlokas Rashi Rambam. And I don't know why, he just quotes both of them. They're different Shitas. Why does he quote both of them? And he says, and I'll tell you, there's a Kula and a Chumra for each Shita. Right, Rambam, Rashi says most of the valley. The Rambam says most of the city. It could be either or. You might have one valley which has four cities in it. I mean, how big were cities in those days? So you might have the valley bigger, or you might have, you know, the opposite, right? There are 10 valleys in one city. So sometimes it could be work out better for the choker. Sometimes it could work out better for the machkir. So how does he quote two different opinions, which might give you two different results? That's his shayla. Mashma vade the tuva ikavinayu the hani shnei apirushim, and he goes through. So he says the efshar li lomar shaharav Rabbi Avadi bebar tenura shaharav kasav litshravayu leinyan dina. Even though you're right, halachically there are differences, but he's giving pshat to the Mishnah, and he's saying that the Mishnah could either be understood as either one. Mikal makom l'yindina efshaladun ketravayu. Why? Dekal safik mamon l'kula l'nitva. Fari achoker hu muchsak b'chakiraso ula olam u'menachelo. Says the Tosfos Yontov, you know what the Rav means? L'kula for the choker. Meaning either one that works out for his benefit, he could deduct. Whether it's a Makas Medina of Rova the Valley or Rova the City, either one of those would be work for the benefit because Muchsak, right? We just spoke about Muchsak regarding Safek Mitzvah, but this is Muchsak regarding Safek Dinim Amenis. So that would be a regular case of Muchsakas, and he suggests that that's what the Rav Bar Tanura means by quoting both Rashi and the Rambam to say that whichever one works out better for the Choker would be okay. He would be able to deduct that from his chakranas that he gives back. Good. So that was all the machlokas within the first shita of Rav Yehuda, that Rove of the Baga was affected. So Ula Amar, now back to the Gemara. Ula Amar could go into Nishtadfu Arba Sados Me Abaru Choseha. No, the case is Makas Medina has been all four contiguous fields around the field was affected. But it could be much less than a rove of the valley. No, there were five fields that were affected by this, sometimes Rahman al-Islan could have a tornado. That mamish, one side of the street is affected and one side of the street is fine. Exactly where it is a touchdown. So here, let's say there were five fields that were affected. So the one in the middle could claim up Makas Medina. Because all four fields surrounding were affected. That's Ula. So now, Amar Ula. So now the Gemara asks about eight or nine questions within the Shita of Ula. If you say the definition of Makas Medina is the four fields surrounding Ba'u B'Ma'arava, they asked in Eretz Yisrael the following questions within Ula. Nishtaf Tlem Echad Alpnei Kulamai. What if the fields surrounding weren't affected, but just the inner row of each of the fields surrounding the middle field that were as affected? So is that good enough to say, hey, look, it affected all the fields, but only one row of all the fields around. So is that good enough? Right? One row of all the fields. Nishtayir tlam echad al pnei kula mahu. What if all four fields surrounding were affected, except the row that's contiguous? The one row that's touching the inner field wasn't affected. Mahu. Again, all of these questions, it's not a question of umdana, of, oh, was it, doesn't sound like it. No, it's a question of halachically, are these considered, how do you view Makas Medina? Does it need contiguous? Does it need to be viewed as one big field? Does it have to only be in the same town? Well, it is the field, and this one row is not defining of the whole field. Again, you have to think about what each of these questions are based on. If Sika Biramai, what if the fields surrounding were affected, but in between the middle field and the outer fields were fields that weren't worked at all? They lay fallow, so they weren't affected. So is that a hefsik to between these fields? How do you look at it? Do you look at halachically these fields all as one or not? We have similar cases, thinking back, the beginning of Maseches Peah. Towards the beginning, the Mishnayos discuss, what's mafsik for Peah? Hakol mafsik in lepeah, the Mishnayos describe. What if you have a river in between? Do you look at it at one field, two fields? These are similar kinds of questions. As pasta mai, what if in between your field and the other fields, there are fields of animal fodder? They're growing animal fodder. As pasta. So is that a hefsik? That's something totally different. Or zera acher mai, what if it's a different kind of growth? So you might say, well, hey, it's not Makas Medina because those fields were growing something else. You're the only one that had this type of zera that was affected. So that's not a Makas Medina or not. Chiti legabe saorim, kizera acher dami olo. And if you want to say zera acher is a problem, maybe wheat and barley are viewed as one. Why would they be viewed as one? Right, there are five. Right, there are five types of grain that are viewed halachically as grain that can be used for matzah, that create chametz, that is a chiyuv of challah, right? Five grains. But barley and wheat are always go together, right? They're the only ones that can be used for carbon mincha. Most carbonous mincha are wheat. A few of them, two, are barley, right? The carbon sota, right? He asta maisa behema, so she brings a ma'achal behema, right? It's known as animal food. And Klal Yisrael bring it, the carbon ha'omer. The carbon ha'omer on the second day of Pesach is made out of barley, and all of Bali Musar discuss, because it's a process going from the omer brought on the second day of Pesach to the shtei halechem which is brought on Shavuos, the special carbon, along with the Shalmei, the Shlamim that goes along with the Kipsei Atzeres, the only time there's a carbon Shlamim, that's a carbon Zibur, that's brought with the Shtei Alechem, on Shavuos, that's made out of wheat. And there's a process of going from animal fodder, Seorim, barley, to wheat. We go from being behemoths to being men, from Pesach to Shavuos. That's the process of Sfiras HaOmer. So that's the Chit de la Gavitzar. But again, there's an affinity between those two. So even if you want to say that the other things are considered two different ones, but maybe wheat and barley, Chitim and Seorim are have a connection. Continuing, what about Kol HaOlam Kulo Bishidafon Vishalo Bayrakon? What is it if there's a different plague that affected yours and others? The whole world was Shidafon, it was a windswept problem, and yours turned yellow, Yerakon. Inami, right? Yarok in the Talmud is more of a yellow, even though modern Hebrew it's green, but in the Talmud it means more of a yellow, because there's a connection between Yarok and Adom, the Mishnayos and Mesechas need to discuss. Green and red have less connection than yellow and red. Inami, kol olam kulo b'yerakov v'kushalo b'shidafon, or the opposite. What do you say? My, so teku, so there is no answer. The Meiri points out that the only shaila is by Shidafon and Yerakon. If it's Shidafon and Chagav, right, that's for sure not Makas Medina. Locusts and something that happens inherently to the crops, that wouldn't be a Shaila. The only Shaila, says the Meiri, is where Shidafon and Yerakon, which are both weather-related types of plagues, so then maybe you can connect. Pesafik im Shidafon v'Yerakon domos l'maka achas im lav. U'mikal makom, im shal kol ha'olam b'Shidafon v'shalo akla chagav, v'mehavach ein safik. No, that's just coincidence, right? Two terrible things happen to the crops, but it cannot be viewed as a makas medina. Okay, so those are all a couple of questions within Ula, but we had a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Ula. What does makas medina mean? A couple of other questions. And embedded in these questions are one or two yisodos ha'emuna. Fascinating. Right here at the end of Bamitzia Kufaf. Amalei. Zarachiti. What happened? The owner says, you know what? Yeah, you can take my field to plant wheat. V'yadaluv zarasari. And he went and planted barley. He didn't listen. And what happened? V'ishtad ruba debaga. And then a makas medina happened. It was a windswept. V'ishtad nami hanachsari delay my. So what do you say here? This kind of like tchlasa bepshia v'sofa v'ones kind of act. So mi amrina, do we say, to amale, ilu zaratachite havinami v'shtadfa. Well, it's a makas medina. Because look, even if I would have listened to you, it would have been destroyed. So I'm deducting it from my, from Chakronis. O Dilma, or Matzi Amarle, the owner could say this unbelievable line. Ilo zarata chite, if you would have planted wheat, havi mekayim bi, I could have fulfilled, v'sigzer omer v'yakim lach. He decrees and it is fulfilled. What does that mean? I davened for the wrong thing. I davened for wheat. You planted barley. So I davened for the wrong thing and that's why it didn't work. If you would have planted the right thing, then it would have been okay. Rashi, second skinny line. V'sigzer v'yomer, mashe tivakesh min hayotzer ya'aseh. V'ani lo bikashti min hashamayim b'tchilas hashana sh'yaslicheni b'sa'or mele b'chitim. I davened for the wrong thing on Rosh Hashanah. So you messed me up, so that's why. It's your responsibility. Maybe if you would have planted the wrong thing. It doesn't even say maybe. If you would have planted the wrong thing, so then my tefillah. Let's continue and then we'll answer. Mistavra, so which is it? Can he say Makas Medina or not? You know what the answer is? He could say that. He could say the tefillah. Mistavra. Da'amalei izarat achidim makayim bevisigzer omar v'yakim lach v'al derachecha noga or pasik in Iyov. So l'maskana. L'maskane, it works. Says the Shizbuk Ubetzes. We're going to be motzi mamon based on this taina. Right? The choker is not going to be able to deduct it because we're going to say this is not makas medina. We're going to be motzi mamon based on this? So says the Shita, not exactly. You have to remember that really, the Kivan, right away, when he planted something different, he was already mishana midas balabayas. He's basically a posheya. So once he did that, then we'll add on this svara. It's not purely based on I would have davened differently. In that's a great hashkafic thought, but for that to affect Dini Mamanis, you know, that's a little iffy. But says the Shidbukubetz here in the name of the Ramach, Dekivan Deshani Mishlichu say Posheyahu. Umatzi nami omerle, iloshanita vemekayim bivisigzer omer. Meaning it's an added point, but it's not the main svara. Where do we see this? That if you daven for the wrong thing, you know, only if you daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't like put it together, but there's a power of tefillah. It's a power, right? It's a Rashi. It's a Rashi and a Meshech Chachma. Rashi in Parshas Chukas. Rashi says there, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk in Parshas Chukas tells us that after Aaron HaKohen dies, right, what happens? Vayishma HaKnani Melech Arad Yoshev HaNegev. The Kenani, Melech Arad, who is Yoshev HaNegev, heard, Ki ba Yisrael derech Hasarim, and he went to fight them. So what nation is this? Kenani, Melech Arad, Yoshev HaNegev. Says Rashi, Ze Amalek. Shenemar, Amalek Yoshev Eretz HaNegev. It's Amalek. So why does the Torah not call him that? Vishino es l'shono l'daber b'loshon Kenaan. Why does it say Melech Kenani? Kidei, why? Because they put on Kenaanite clothing. They took off Amalekite clothing, they put on Kenaanite clothing. Why? Rashi. Kidei sheyi Yisrael mispalim HaKadosh Baruch Hu laseis Kenaanim v'yadam. So that they will, please save us from the Kenaanim. V'heimenam Kenaanim. So, ro Yisrael, levusheyem ki levusheyem aleikim, o leshonem lashon Kenaan. Right, they had the Yitzchak Avinu dilemma. Hakol kol Amalek, v'hayadayim yidei Kenaan. Right, they look like Kenaanites, they sound like Amalek. What do we do? Amru, but Yisrael said, nispalel stam, shenemar im nason titein es ha'am hazeh biyadi. Quoting the Alkut Shimoni. That's Rashi. Rashi says Beferish. Chaf Aleph, Aleph. Right? If you daven for the wrong thing, says the Meshech Chachma, where did Chazal get this from? B'metzia Kufav. That's the source. That's the source for this, says the Meshech Chachma. Zeh quotes the Rashi on that pasuk, and then he says, Mikamakam mohaisam o'elas tfilasam kibin shespalu betos. U'mizeh yotza halacha kevua betalmud. Perakam makabel, b'metzia Kufav. Vinachon, after he quotes the Gemara. And this is, I'm telling you, this is Amita Shel Torah. That's the, where do we get this from? So that's what it comes from. It comes from this, comes from the Gemara. Then he gives another pshad about the Pesukim. There was a promise that you couldn't start out with Amalek yet, Bechulu, but we're not gonna go with the second idea. But we've discussed this at length in the Rosh Hashanah times, when many of the Baalei Machshava explained the shofar as a form of tefillah. Right, shofar is a form of tefillah. Many proofs to that. Right, you don't do you blow shofar during Shemona Esrei, right, which we don't do with any other mitzvah that we have. Right, we say after shofar blowing, right, we say Hashem should understand our shofar. We need to understand our shofar. Right, hear our shofar. What do you mean understand our shofar? Aresha Svaseinu, right? And then we say understand. Yeah, because shofar is a form of tefillah. There are many other shofars should be bent, just like we're bent when we're davening. Various, but the question that is asked then by the Mefarshim is, so why do we use the shofar as a form of tefillah if it has no words? So the answer there are many answers given, but the answer that Rav Soloveitchik gave and others gave is that we dafka want a tefillah without words because we don't want to take any chances. We don't want to take any chances. On the day that everything is decided, we don't want to daven for something that might not be good for us. Right? We'll daven words, but we'll also daven a tefillah without words, as if to say to Hashem, you know what? Fill in the blank. You know what's best for us. And therefore, you know, you fill in the blank so that we'll be able to rest assured that whatever we daven, and then you fill in the rest. That's what he writes in couple of places. There's a Masora journal, one of Rav Schechter's Sfarim discuss it. He says, Menehechrech lomar, shegeder mitzatzkiya shofar Rosh Hashanah utfila, vein adam yachol lakir etz matzavol nachon, bichdei leida be'emes ba'an ma'al vakesh. We don't know, right? Ki yahar mipamim mochoshev sheshiduch zeh uparnasa zuha hadabar achito bado. We think, I need this job, I need this thing. And it's not. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. And that's why we say to Hashem, Usakabel, every day we say, Usakabel berachamim uvarason esfilaseinu. Accept our tefillahs with compassion. What does that mean? If this isn't good for me, then don't accept it. Only if it's for compassion. Usakabel berachamim uvarason esfilaseinu. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah we daven a tefillah without words. Ki ein anu yodim be'emes es ma'alavakeh. What to exactly daven for. And Rav Schechter quotes in Mipnini Harav, an unbelievably scary line that Rav Soloveitchik said. He said, you don't know how hard I daven that I wouldn't have to leave Europe. You don't know how hard I daven that I don't want to come to America. That's what he says. Kodesh Baruch Hu knew better. Omar, harbe v'harbe hispalo shol yisarach lavo l'America v'shiyuchal yishar b'Europa. V'Hashem atov lo kibel tfilosav elu, kilu hayinishar chalila b'Europa, yinofel b'sachanas anatsim. Rachman al islan. And the world, Jewish history in America would have been different. But that is that's the idea that Gemara says right here, that we have to try to be specific. We have to daven for what we want to daven for, but then also recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what's best for us, and then in Shema Koleinu, we add in Hashem, just kava brachim uvoratzon. That's tefillah seder. Okay. Weiter, we continue. Says the Gemara, Nishtatfu, what about the opposite? Another case, not the opposite. Nishtatfu, kol sadoshev shal machkir, Vishtatf nami haba hadayu. All the fields of the landowner were ruined. In all the different places where they were. Velo ishtatf ruba debaga, but not with the majority of where this field was mine. So mi amrinan, kiva delo ishtatf ruba debaga lo manachi le, do we say, well that's not a makas medina, because most of the valley is okay. O dilma or kiva nishtatf kuli arate, but what do we say? Since most of the Machir's fields were destroyed, Matzi Amarle, the Choker could say, Haimishum Lesach Didachu, Daha Mishtatu Koso Desach, you're bad luck. God's obviously sending you a message. Nothing to do with me, for your fields were ruined. So what can you say there? So Mistavra, the Amarle, the Balabayas wins. Why? Because he could say, Imishum Lesai Didi, if it would be me, if Hashem is really sending me a message, Havi Mishtar Le Purta, then there would have been at least one field that would have been left. Dichziv ki nisharnu ma'at meharbe. Even when Hashem punishes, he doesn't totally destroy. He would have left me something. The fact that he didn't leave me anything, it must have just been an occurrence, but not that I am responsible for. Says the Meiri. These are the kind of Gemaras that the Meiri, takes and just teaches us the message. Says the Meiri right here. He discusses this halacha, and he says, "V'afal fisha hayadaya mochichos shebishvilo irakein ein kanochacha adaraba imlo shenishana midas rachamim al chakirus ze haita masheres lo mitzad acher." Whenever Hashem punishes, he has some rachmanis inside also. So therefore, if it was total, then it must be something else. Must not be a specific message for him. So that's why the Balabayas wins in that case. What about the opposite case? Nishtadfu kol sadoshav shel choker, vishadav ruba debaga, vishadav nami habadayu. There is a makas medina. It's most of the valleys, most of the fields in the valley, but also all the fields of the choker in the whole world. Mahu, my, mi amrinan kiven de ishtat ruba de baga magmila menachile, it is makas medina, o dilma, or no, kiven de ishtat if kulu arate, since all of his fields were affected, masi amarle, mishum lesa didachu, de ishtat fu kol sodos, sodosayach, so the Gemara answers, mistavra, here, the Balabayas wins again. De amarle, mishum lesachu, it's your fault, choker, Hashem's obviously sending you a message. Amai, hachanami, why can't he say, nemalei mishum lesa didihu, havi mishali purta, tavi makayim bi kinesharna ma'am meharbe? Why can't he say that? And the Tosfos Rashi even adds, and he even has a stronger taina than the previous one, because he's muchzak. Right? So even if you want to say that there was a chiddush to say the earlier one, that to be motzi mamon, you could use this claim of kinesharna ma'am meharbe, so surely to be machzik in it, says the Gemara, no. Mishum to Amarle, the Machkir could say, Ihavi Chazis l'ishtar yure l'cha midi. If Hashem wanted to leave you with something, Haivim Mishtar lo bidanaf shach. Even if you deduct, but it's not yours, it's my field. Right? The whole point is Hashem would have left you something. So therefore you can't use that claim against me because, it's really not yours. Again, Hashem's Rachmanis runs deep. Right, we know in the Tochacha, Rashi quotes it, that even there are a couple of psukim in the Tochacha that the Minhag of Chai Yisrael should read out loud, because even as he's destroying us, right, he's still, the pasuk in Bechukosai that we read out loud, because Hashem, even in the Tochacha, still keeps us around and loves us. As has been pointed out by Jew and non-Jew alike, the greatest miracle of the history of the world are the Jews. Right, that's the greatest miracle that every other nation throughout, we're still around, right, there's Rachmanis within, even if we can't recognize it at times. Meisvei, next, says the Gemara, Leskakasha from Meseches Arachin. Right, we have to remember a little bit from Meseches Arachin. The halach is, Pesukim at the end of Sefer Vayikra, if somebody sells their stay achuza, I sell a field, I'm not allowed to redeem it within the first 2 years. right? The opposite halachas of selling a house in a batei arechoma. We only have 1 year to redeem it. But if I sell a field, se'achuza, at least 2 years, it goes to the buyer. What happens if one of those 2 years was impossible, it was like a totally a bad weather year, and I wasn't able to plant anything? So does that count for one of the years? So, ha'isa shashi dafan v'yeirakon, o shvius, right? It was a year of the wind swept, or the became yellow, or shmita. Osha yushanim kishnei Eliyahu. It was totally dry drought years, like the drought of Eliyahu. Eino ololo min aminyan. Those don't count for the 2 years, right? You got to give it more time. So ktani. So we say shidafon v'yirakun dumya tishanim kishnei Eliyahu. So we compare those two types of plagues, shidafon and yirakun, to the years of Eliyahu. Ma shnei Eliyahu de lo avitvu aklal. Just like in the years of Eliyahu, there was no tvu in the whole world. That's a makkah. So too, maybe that's what shidafan and yirakon means, that there was no tfu at all. Aval, but if there is any tfua, aval hecha de ika tfua, salkale, velo karmina makas medinihi. Kash on both opinions, right? Whether it doesn't say the blood made most of the valley, most of the city, it says the whole world. Shidafan and yirakon have to be the whole world, like in Shanim Kishnei Eliyahu. Answer, no, don't compare. Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, shiny hasam. Over there by Steachuzet, it's different. To Amar Krab, it mismar shnei tfuos, yimkar loch. Shonim, sheyesh bohen tfuah ba'olam. So we have a special drasha that there, if there's tfuah in the world, then it would count as a year. It has to be no tfuah in the whole world. Amalei Ravashi, the Rav Kahana, so elameyata, shvias talob in a minyan. So why don't you say shmita works? Why, there's tfuah in the world that you could work, to yikat tfuas chutz la'aretz. Tfuah b'chutz la'aretz, so there's tfuah in the world, so Shemitah should be able to count for one of the years. Why does it say that Shemitah doesn't count? Because you can't work the field. The chutz la'aretz, you can work it. Amar lei, answer is, second time we've had this Masechta, afkata, shvius afkata demalkahi. No, shvius is an uprooting of the king. You don't own it during Shemitah. It's totally, you can't count it as a year, not just because of it doesn't, it's destroyed, but it's not yours. It's Afkata de Malka. And therefore, Shvius is different, right? That phrase appears three times in this Masechta and nowhere else in Shas. Afkata de Malka, that Shvius is an uprooting of the field. Let's just continue and then we'll talk about that. Amar le marzucha, reader of Mari Ravina, elamiata, Shvius lo talo minagirua. Okay, so if that's true, then I'll ask you about another halacha. We know that if a field of mine goes to Hektish, if somebody is poda, if I'm makdish my field, and then somebody is poda it from Hektish, there's a certain formula of how much you have to pay per year, per size of the field. And you figure it out. How many years left until Yovel, when it's gonna leave the buyer's hands anyway? So it's like a one puntion, right? You figure it out. But you figure it out based on 49 years. Shmitas aren't left out. But if the fields don't belong to you during Shmita, so why should you have to pay for those years? Right? That's the Gemara's question. Talo talam in a girua. From the giraon that you deduct based on the years to left to Yovel. Alama tanan, no sin sela upudion lashana. Right? Why do you have to pay a sela puntion per year? And if it's like right after Yovel, you pay 50. Right, so why is that? So Amalei, shiny hasam dechazil mishtacha bapeire. No, the field could be used for other things during Shemitah. You just can't plant on the field. You're allowed to, put furniture on the field. You're allowed to dry out your fruit on the field. Right, so that's why it could still count when you are poda as deachuza. We discussed back on Daflamit Test, the last time this came up, this phrase, afkata demalka, the double machlokes regarding that principle. There's a machlokes about what the Gemara is talking about Shemitas Karka, and there's also a machlokes about Shemitas Ksafim, also using the principle of afkata demalka. So first, what does the Gemara here talk about? Afkata demalka, the field is not yours. The Minchas Chinuch has this suffix, and then he says, it's actually a machlokas achronim, and that's how it's known. In the Shemitah discussions, a machlokas between the Beis Yosef in the Afkas Rochel in his Shuvas, and the Maharit in his Shuvas as well. The Minchas Chinuch quotes this machlokas in Mitzvah Pei Dalet, in Parshas Mishpatim. But first he has his own suffix, and then he says, it's a machlokas. Vani Mesupak, says the Minchas Chinuch, Ia mitzvah akarkafta de gavrahu, de rachmana tzivu lahafkir peirosa b'shvias, umechuyav lakayim lahafkir. There's a chovas gavra. A person has to say, my fruit and my field is hefker. And if I don't say it, it's not hefker. Vim hefker, if mafkar is a hefker, avalam eno mafkar eno mufkar, dehi, yes, you violate a mitzvah saseh if you're not mafkarid, but and you're not allowed to do it, but still, it's gezel, but it's still yours. Is that how I should understand it? And if you are mafkir it, it's yours, you have to go through with some isris. Oh, Dilma, no. Hefker ze ain shrichem abaylam lahafkir. Rak hu afkata demalka. Shehu memela hefker. Rak im nol karmo over la seize. If you locked up your field, you violate, and you're stealing from the rabbim, but memela, it's hefker. Doesn't matter what you do. Vimkin pati bimaisa b'chol inyan. And then he says, shuv heir Hashem yisparach haseinai, umatzasi, I found it's a machlokas between the maharit and the Beis Yosef, which the Beis Yosef says you have to be mafkirin, and the Maharit says not. What he discusses nafkaminas between these issues. What about women? What about a chereshot of a katan? What about other issues? Mishumar. He talks about the nafkaminas here, but that is one major machlokas, obviously connecting to the sugyas of the hedemachira, like we mentioned a couple of days ago. But the other related somewhat machlokas is you have the same parallel machlokas by Shmitas Ksafim, and that is if I'm not mafkir alone, I'm owed money. So is that loan dissolved by itself, or I have to be mafkirit? That's the machlokas, the Yerayim, and the Mordechai. The Mordechai says in Maseches Gittin that it's automatic. It's automatic. That doesn't matter. I could be screaming that it's I'm not mishamit the loan, but the Torah is mishamit. Then the Yerayim says no, it's a chovas gavra. Right? The Yerayim, you understand what the mitzvah zaseh is. According to the Mordechai, right, tashmei yodecha, you have to figure, and that's what we generally assume, like what Rovi showed him, you have to figure out what exactly then is the mitzvah zaseh. If the loan disappears by itself, what do I have to do? So the mitzvah samelach we discussed back then on Daf Lametes discusses, is the mitzvah dafka b'shev al taseh, not to go and collect. It's not collectible anyway, but don't treat it. Or maybe there's a mitzvah to be mishamated before Shemitah comes. Right before Shemitah, say, I'm not collecting it while it's still in your rishus. Different days. It's just a little harder to explain based on Rov Rishonim if the Torah does it automatically. Similar to Kiddush, right? It's Shabbos automatically. Right, what is Kiddush adding? Right? It's still an additional personal element. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara Amar Shmuel. Says Shmuel, 6Y line, Lo Shona Elisha Zarata Vitzam Chavach Lachagav. When do we say that there's a Makas Medina? If it grew and then it was destroyed by the locusts. Avalozar, a klal, lo. But if he never planted, and then if the field was just prevented from planting, lo, to Amalei, no. Either Zarata and Mekayim B, same kind of idea. No, if you would have planted, so maybe I could have fulfilled, Lo Yevosha Beisra'a, will be May Ravon Yisbo. Right? Maybe it would have been better if you would have planted, Hashem would have protected my stuff. Just because you didn't plant yet, you know, that's why it was bad. Says the Gemara, Masav Rav Sheish, is that really true? We had earlier in the Masechta the following halacha, Roash Ayaroya, Roav Iniyef Edro, Ubala Ir. There was a shepherd that was watching people's animals, and he went to the city at the normal time to get lunch. Ubazeir v'taraf, uba'ari v'daraz, and a wolf, and a zeiv, and an ari, a lion came and ate up one of the sheep. Hey, no, we don't say. Well, if he would have been there, maybe he could have saved. No. Ela omdin. You don't say that automatically. Ela omdin also. Im yachol lahatzel chayivim lapater. If he would have been there anyway, and there would have been a lion, and we would have had no chance, then we don't make him pay. So v'yamai, why not? Just like Shmuel says here, oh, if you would have planted, there would have been Hashem would have protected it. So too there, name alei, yihavis hasam, havim mekayim bi gamis arives gam hadov, hikavdecha, right, David HaMelech. Right? Maybe he could have overpowered the lion and the bear. Right? So why don't you say that? Says the Gemara, no. Mishum da amar lei havis chazis lisrachushe lachanisa havis rachash lachanisa. Right? Even though if I wasn't there, there could have been a different miracle. If you would have been deserving. Karebi chanita bendosa. Demasi and easy dubai bekarnayu. Remember that story in Titus where he was accused of not being honest with the other people's goats, and he says, you know, if I'm not being honest, then my goats are going to come back dead. And if I'm being honest, then my goats are going to come back with bears on their horns. And they all came back with bears on their horns. Right? So, you see, there were miracles. You don't need a person there. So, says the choker could say, if you were deserving of a miracle, it could have happened even if I wasn't there. Says the Gemara, V'nei Nehi Delanisa Rabalo Avi Chazina, Delanisa Zuta Chazina, well, maybe still. Maybe he's not worthy of a big nace, maybe a small nace of you shooing them away. So Kasha, we end up having a problem. We end up having a problem with this comparison. And again, we end up stuck a little bit. Because, again, in the case over there, we say that the shomer is putter. It's not his fault. And here we're saying, oh, if he would have done it, then the tool would have been protected. So we don't really answer that question. Avila Taras Chaim, again, one of the Achronim here, discusses what's the Shakla Vitaria about a big nace, small nace, right? He discusses, would Hashem rather do a nace nistar, because he wants everybody to keep their Bechira, and, you know, that's generally what we assume, like the Ramban by Kriyas Yamsuf, that Hashem made a big win, or do you say, no, Neis Nigla, to be Mekabi Shem Shamayim, to bring everybody to believe? Okay, generally we assume the former. It's fine. Tani, Chada, Pam Rishona, Vishnia Zara, Vishlisha Zaina Zara. One Brisa says that the Choker has a responsibility to plant it two times. And then after two times, if it keeps getting destroyed, he doesn't have to do it a third time. He could give up. V'shlisha zeinu zara. V'tanya idach, shlisha zara, revi'a zeinu zara. And a different writer says, no, he's got to try at least three times. The fourth time he doesn't have to do. So stira, so lokasha ha-karebi, ha-karib shimving amliel, general shas machlokes. Ha-karebi da'amar betrays zimni ha-vechazaka, two times. Ha-karib shimving amliel, da'amar betrays zimni ha-vechazaka, three times. Who do we paskin like? So says the Rosh, say rov rishonim, shimving amliel. We always paskin like shimving amliel. Could we pass it like that by Chazaka three times? There are exceptions to the rule. We pass it like Rebbe by Pikuach Nefesh. We pass it like Rebbe by Pikuach Nefesh by Katlanis and by Bris Mila, right? The two older brothers in the case of hemophilia. The Meiri here has two deis. A, maybe we pass it like Roshon Gamliel. Maybe we pass it like Roshon Gamliel three times. B, maybe we pass it like Rebbe because this is like death, because the field keeps getting destroyed. Unbelievable comparison. That's the line of the Meiri right here, that maybe here we would also paskin like Rebbe, betray Zimni Avichazaka, because the Davar Zera, Ula Damoso Yosel Lenisuin, Shari Zekain Misahu, Va'od, and then he adds called Savig Mammon Kulol Lenitva. Maybe it's based on Mammonis Chazaka as well. Okay, Amarish Lakish, Loshan Elish Zarev, it's some Chavachal Chagav. We only say the deduction of Makas Medina, where he planted, and then it was eaten. Aval Zarev Alot Samcha. If he planted and it grew and it was eaten, fine. But if he planted and it just didn't take root at all, it didn't grow, Matsi Amar Le Balakarka, Kol Yemei Zera Zara Le Vazel. Well, maybe you just planted too early. You have to plant again. Maybe you planted too early. You have to try again. How long in the season does he have to try? Until all the other sharecroppers come in from the fields. And the constellation Kima is above their heads. Which Rashi explains is Adar, the days of Adar. And then Rashi goes through a lot of the astronomy with all of the constellations, which we're not going to do right now. But again, that's the, as long as you have. Meisvei, is that really true? All the way until Adar is considered Zera season? But look at the following. Omer, so, according to the first opinion, well, Chatzi Sivan Tamuz v'Chatzi Av Kayetz, Chatzi Av El v'Chatzi Tishrei Chom, all the different seasons. But the latest Zera you're going to get there, what's Zera? That is the first, that's Kislev. Rabbi Yehuda Omona mi Tishrei. He goes by months starting from Tishrei, not half months. Rabbi Shimon Mona mi Mar Cheshvan. But either way, Man Mekom Bikolu Rabbi Shimon, V'Kulei Ailo Kamar. Rabbi Shimon is the most Mekol, and nobody says that the Zera season is all the way to Adar. So why would the sharecropper have to go so late? Lokasha had the kibla minei b'charfi, had the kibla minei b'afli. It depends if you got early blooming things to plant or late blooming things to plant. Right? All these cases, all the ones she just listed are the early bloomers, but maybe he got late bloomers, and that's why he still has to try it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer if kibla mimenu b'mos. Remember the Mishnah had quoted: if he guaranteed to pay money, then he can't have any claims of Makas Medina. Because money wasn't affected directly. There was a man who accepted to plant garlic next to the river for money. He committed to pay money. And the river flooded. And the field was ruined. It doesn't usually flood. Makas Medina hi. Zil nachile. Yeah, go to dock. That's considered a Makas Medina. The river overflowed. Armale Rabban al Rava, Vaha Anantan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Kibla Mimeno Babos, Beinkach, Beinkach. Eno Manachalam and Chakuro? But doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that if you commit to money, you don't have a claim of Makas Medina? Armale Lahu, less the Chashla, Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, but we don't pass him like that. We pass like the Tanakama. That it is it affects his bank account. So even if he guarantees money, it is still, he still has the claim. Next. I accept, again, a case of chakranus. I'm going to give you 10 kur of chitim for the year, and it was affected. right? It produced an inferior product. No sin lo mitocha. I could pay you from that inferior product, right? That's what I'm allowed to give you. Hayu chiteha yafos lo yomar lo hareni lokeach min hashuk ela no sin lo mitocha. But if it produces superior quality, I can't just buy inferior and give you. I have to give you from the field. Ho gavra story. Tekabel aralas pasta bukuri desari. I accept a field. I'm going to plant aspasta there, bukuri desari, and I guarantee that I'm going to pay for it in barley. I'm going to plant das pasta, which is not so hard on the field, and I'm going to give you barley. Of das pasta, b'charsha. So he planted das pasta, which grows very quickly, and he plowed it, and then afterwards he decided, you know what, I'm going to switch. V'zaresari v'laki, hanisari. And then he planted barley, and they did not turn out so well. So shalcha Rav Chaviva misura, depras l'kamei d'Ravina. So he sent the question to Ravina. Ki agav namai, what do you say about in this case? Ki laksa nosin lo mitocha dami. Well, the field was ruined, so he could give the inferior type of barley. Olo or no, because here he went against what he was supposed to do. And the Gemara says the latter. Amar le midami. Hasam in our Mishnah, lo av da arash lichusa demara. The land didn't do what it was supposed to do, right? It was bad. It produced an inferior quality, so that's what he could pay with. But halcha av da arash lichusa demara. But here, the land did exactly what it was supposed to do. Then he was Mishana the second time he planted, and therefore it's his fault and he loses. Similarly, ha'u gavra dekabo pardes mechavre be'eser doni chamra. A person accepts an orchard, and he's going to give 10 barrels of wine from the orchard. Takavu chamra. After he does everything and he puts the wine in the barrels, then the wine goes bad. So they thought to say, well, this is exactly the similar case, that it went bad. So Amar Ravashi, Rashi again says, no, midami. Hasam lo av da arish lichusa. In the Mishnah, so the field did not produce properly. So you could pay from the field, the inferior type. Hacha av da arish lichusa. Here the field did fine, it just got ruined in the barrels. So it must have been the choker's fault. But the field was perfect. So he can't give the inferior type unless umo de ravashi beinvi dekadum ubesadish lotsa beumreha. If the grapes themselves were wormy and there was something inferior from the growth and that affected the later ruining in the barrels, so of course that would be similar to the Mishnah and he would be able to deduct from his achakranes. Okay, I'll have to stop here. Get tomorrow's daf. I'm not sure if there'll be a daf tomorrow put up from the new cycle, maybe from the last cycle, which would mean for the next couple of days. Those Be'ez Hashem on Sunday in City Field, those will be there. Be'ez Hashem, we'll see the chevra there. But so tomorrow is a suffix. After that, the next couple of days we'll be put up from the last cycle and we'll pick up again from the new cycle on Monday. Okay, we'll stop here.